morning.
My
name is Sandra Bowers. I come to you all the way from north of the river, from Liberty. Mark and I have been friends for a while, and don't hold this against me, but I may have been the one that got Mark started out at Tall Oaks. I think I'm not sure that he had been out there before, if my memory serves me right, but that I invited him out to be a co-counselor or a co-director at one of the camps. And I think he's been going ever since. Every summer, I think he's been out there. My daytime job is with the Kansas City Zoo. I'm an instructor out there, so I get to go out and teach science to kids in our on-ground classrooms. I get to then take animals out to different places, and I get to present animals in a different way, and we use them to teach different concepts out in the community. So that's my daytime job during the week, and then I get to pulpit supply and do weddings and that kind of thing when I'm not working for the zoo. But by being at the zoo, I have a lot of time that I can travel around, and I like being out in the car. I don't always like to be the driver because I like to look around and see the different types of signs that are out. So I like to see, well, you can tell a lot about a small community if you look at the handwritten signs that they've posted on their fences. You can see the politics a lot of times on signs that are hand-printed on people's fences. But you can tell a lot about communities as well by the type of billboards that are around. So I like being able to see different things and look at different signs along the way. It's also fun to look at signs around church buildings. So signs that are out in front of churches where they're advertising different things coming up. And there are times where some people will put up a sign and not really think about maybe it has another meaning than the one that they're putting on the sign. So those are there are some that I won't share here this morning because they're probably not appropriate. But I found some that I would like to share with all of you. So a sign, the first one was from a church in Alabama. And this church, or the sign in front of this church, simply said, "Too hot to keep changing sign. Sin bad. Jesus good. Details inside." I found one in front of a church that said, "Trust in God, but lock your cars." One that I it's so appropriate for today. There was one that said, "There are some questions that cannot be answered by Google or Alexa." Have you guys seen the little kid that asks Alexa for his homework questions? Yeah, not everything can be answered by Alexa. And then, "Lint, not just for belly buttons. Find out more, join us Sunday." And the last one I found, I really hope this isn't true, especially at the end of today. "Do you know what hell is? Come hear our preacher." I'm really hoping that one's not good for the end of today. So like I said, my weekday job is with the Kansas City Zoo, where I get to take animals out. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm so glad that the sun is out and spring is here, and I think a lot of our animals out at the zoo are as well. I had one animal that I needed to take out. I was going to a preschool, and we were talking about colors. So we were gonna teach colors, and I had a parrot that I was gonna take out, a very large parrot. And usually, I can go up to this parrot, I go to her house, I open her door, and I'll have a seed in my hand. And I'll simply say, "Hey, Dart, let's go." And she'll, you know, come down and jump on her perch. I'll put out my hand. She jumps on my hand. I give her a seed, and we go. This last week, it wasn't, that wasn't the case. I walked in, I had my seat in hand, I went, "Hey, Dart, let's go." And instead of what she should be doing, she went straight to the top of her house, flapped her wings, and started squawking really loud, like, "Not going." So I had to try something different. So I went and I got her favorite piece of fruit. I got a big, huge slice of banana. And I went in there and I went, "Look, Dart, banana, let's go." And she came down to a branch, not her perch, but a branch, and hung upside down and tried to reach for the banana. Like, "No, you gotta come to your perch." And she's like, "Nope, not gonna do it." So she goes back to the top of the house. So I went and I got a grape. So I'm upping the reward here every time I come back. I go for a grape, and with the grape, she didn't even bother to come down to the branch. She just stood up the top and went, "Nope," and squawked real loud and flapped her wings. So I used the last resort. The last resort was a peanut. We try not to use peanuts because we know that there's a lot of kids that are allergic to peanuts. We try not to take them at all. Well, we don't take them off grounds at all. So I went and I got a peanut, and I held the peanut up, and I went, "Look, Dart, a peanut." And she immediately came down, jumped on her perch, and she held up her foot this time. I put my hand out, she steps up, I give her the peanut, and she's crunching away. And while she's crunching away, I'm blowing on her mouth to get all the peanut parts out because I don't want to take the peanuts to the school. And I'm going, "Dart, eat it fast and get rid of that before we get to a school." But she did finally come down. I was able to coax her. But sometimes it takes the big rewards. Do you think that we ever hold out for the big reward at the end? Instead of maybe doing things the way we really should, we hold out for that big reward. One of my favorite theologians is Richard Rohr, and he talks about mercy before judgment. And in one of his books, he talks about when Pope Francis threw open the door of mercy and started the year of mercy back in December of 2015. And Pope Francis wrote, "How much wrong we do to God and his grace when we speak of sins being punished by his judgment before we speak of his forgiveness with mercy." Let me read that for you one more time. "How much wrong we do to God and his grace when we speak of sins being punished by judgment before we speak of being forgiven by his mercy." With our animals at the zoo, we never punish them for not doing what we want them to do. We never punish them. They have the choice of coming with us or not, or doing what we want them to do or not. They have that choice. Dart didn't get the banana. She didn't get the seed. She didn't get the grape. She finally came down for the peanut, and she got a peanut. If she didn't take the peanut, I would have left her there and gone without her. So we never punish. We never punish. We have to put mercy before judgment. God's judgment will always be in light of his mercy. Now, our scripture this morning talks about what a biologist would call the bare necessities. So the bare necessities, what we all need, which is not freely given to us. Air is all around us. We don't have to look for air. But what a biologist will tell us that we need are the four things: food, water, shelter, and space. We all need those four things, and we have to find those four things. We need air. It's given to us. We don't have to hunt for that. But we do have to find food, water, shelter, space, our bare necessities. And that's really what our scripture is talking about. "When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink." Jesus says, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was homeless, you gave me a place to stay. When I was naked, you gave me clothing." Food, water, shelter, and enough space to move around. Jesus, in our scripture this morning, Jesus is setting up a drama. It's not necessarily a parable, but look at it more as a drama. And he's setting up the players, and he divides them in half. He has those that believe, those are the sheep. And those non-believers, those are the goats. Now, goats and sheep will be in the fields together at the point that they're separated. At the point they're separated, it's for shearing. So we can shear the sheep. We don't shear the goats. And so in our scripture this morning, he's setting up the stage for the believers, which are the sheep, and the non-believers, the goats. So the real evidence of how we believe, or what we believe, is how we treat other people. What we do for others demonstrates our true, what we truly believe. So think about this question for just a moment. Is there anything you wouldn't do for someone in need? Think about that for just a moment, because I have a couple more signs that I've seen that I want to tell you about. I like to, whenever possible, I like to drive around to different places instead of flying. So my son lived up in Indianapolis for a while, and I would get to drive up there for visits. On a street corner in Indianapolis was a person with a sign, and his sign said, "To be honest, I just want beer." It didn't say, "I need food." It didn't say, "I need gas money to get home." It said, "To be honest, I just want beer." Is there anything you wouldn't do for someone in need? Think about that still. There's a person that stands up on 9 Highway by the bridge. I live up north, so I see this once in a while. And his sign doesn't say, "To be honest," doesn't have to say that, because what his sign says is, "I need weed." I need weed. Now, I don't think that I have ever needed a beer. I'm not much of a beer drinker. But there are occasions that I would love to have a glass of wine at the end of a really long, hard day. A glass of wine, come home and go out onto the patio and have a glass of wine. I don't know that I need the glass of wine, but I would like to have one once in a while. I don't know what to do with the "I need weed" thing. I've never had that need. I've never had that want. But I'm sure our homeless friends have some of the same needs or wants that we have. Sometimes we might not always think about those that are on the margins and what they need or what they want. They still need the food, water, shelter, and enough space to find and to move around to find the things that they want. But I have a simple question for you. Is food, water, shelter, and space really truly all you need? Because I'm going to beg the difference that it isn't all we need. It may be what we need for our bodies to survive. We need food, we need water, we need to be able to get out of bad weather. We need that to survive. But is that all we need to live? Because I beg the difference that there's more that we need in order to live. One of the things that keep us from receiving the grace of God is that at times we focus more on the punishment side of God. A lot of us were, as children, maybe brought up with, if you do that, God's going to punish you. You shouldn't do it. And you should be afraid, because God is going to punish you. I was a youth minister for a church for a while, for a number of years. And we were talking with our kids about sex. And I had a parent come up to me and say, Now you're going to tell them that obstinance is the only way, right? Or abstinence is the only way, that they should never ever have sex until they're married, and that they will be judged if they do that. And I simply said to the parent that I can almost guarantee you that some of our children, some of our high school students, have already had sex. And I am not going to tell a young person that they are going to be judged by the decisions that they have made. I will tell them that I would like for them to wait until they're married. But I'm not going to tell them that they are going to be damned by God just because they have already made that choice. We have been taught fear. And when we look at our scripture, and today's scripture, thank you for reading our scripture. Today's scripture, that second part of it, that's the fear. And I will read the last few words of what you just read. So we have the sheep and the goats. And what was said to the goats, then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. When we have scriptures like today, I think sometimes we focus on the wrong thing. I think we focus on the negative. We focus on the who instead of the what. History has given us the image of this far away deity that is very different from the God that Jesus wants us to know. The image of this God that is going to take us to the lowest level of our conscious, which is where we start, but it's not where we have to stay. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to forgive. There are passages, even other than the one that we have today, that can cause us trouble. They're disturbing and they're judgmental. There are a lot of dualistic passages in the Bible where good and bad are described, and today's is one of those. It's a drama telling us about good and bad, and we focus on the wrong part of that. We need to focus on the positive. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, in the end, God will be the all in all. Think for a moment of what your image of God is. Is it the negative or the positive? Can you picture what God looks like? I asked my son this many years ago. He was about 6, I think, and I asked him what he thought Jesus looked like. And he goes, Mom, I know what Jesus looks like. Jesus stands under a tree, and he wears blue jeans and a yellow hat, and that tree has lots of leaves so he can stand in the shade. Okay, jeans and a hat. I guess he didn't have a shirt on. But jeans and a hat, and he's able to stand in the shade. According to Rohr again, your image of God creates you. That's why it's important to see God as a loving, forgiving, and full of grace. In our scripture, Jesus first describes the drama in this dualistic manner, comparing good to bad, but then restates his position with the hope of encouraging compassion. If we can see the compassion in our story today, we can move on to seeing this as a scripture that is filled with grace. The point of the drama today is not the who, but the what. The importance of serving where service is needed. The focus of the drama is that we should live and serve every person that we come in contact with. We should love them and serve them. Such love for others glorifies God and our image of God. Psalm 98 tells us that the words, the very end of Psalm 98, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with fairness. If you hold up a sign today that says what you want, you already have what you need, but what do you want? Would your sign begin with, to be honest, this is what I want? Or would it say something like, I just need weed? According to the biologists, we have all of the food, the water, the shelter, and the space that we need to survive. But I don't think that's living. In order to live, we need to include love and companionship and community with enough grace to be whole. Your image of God truly creates who you are. That's why it's important to always have a loving image in your head of a God that freely gives grace. Think about what your sign will show this upcoming week. Amen.